Pope Francis made an explicit call to action to slow climate change in his encyclical, which was published earlier this summer. His words have the power, the potential to unify and inspire billions of people around the world. But there are some Christians who've been working towards sustainability in the name of faith for years. Carolyn Beeler reports.
Sunday service is wrapping up at Central Baptist Church, a congregation of about 200 people in Wayne, Pennsylvania. As people stand around chatting, some peruse a table at the back of the basement sanctuary. Fairtrade coffee and chocolate and energy-efficient light bulbs are laid out for sale.
We sell fair trade products and other environmentally responsible products.
That's Chuck Marshall, a member of the Ecology Mission Group.
The light bulbs are to help people reduce their carbon dioxide emissions.
The Ecology Group is encouraging church members to switch to LED bulbs and wind power in their homes. The goal is to offset the carbon dioxide that's emitted as they drive to and from church each week. A poster behind the table shows the congregation's progress.
Each puff of smoke represents 3 tons of carbon dioxide. And as we get commitments, we erase one of the puffs and put in blue sky.
The Ecology Group has led the church to carbon neutrality through a combination of offsets, energy-efficient upgrades, and switching to renewable energy. Now, they're focusing on outreach to the congregation and encouraging individual actions like car emission offsets. Church member Jane Dugdale, who's involved with the climate initiative, sees environmentalism as an extension of her faith.
Most of the wars that are going on now are for resources and will continue to be. And so we are called to take care of the earth, God's creation.
Chuck Marshall also sees environmental protection as a moral issue.
Whenever I come across environmental issues, I think in terms of the people that are hurt, damaged by it, and then the people who caused that. And so I want to correct that imbalance.
Central Baptist is a good example of the kind of local, grassroots organizing that's been the driver of environmentalism in faith communities until now.
Religious environmentalism, from my standpoint, has largely been driven by local actions.
That's John Grimm, co-director of the Forum on Religion and Ecology at Yale. He thinks the Pope's climate letter has the power to change that for people of many different Christian traditions.
This encyclical places that whole issue in an entirely new context, where the religious environmentalism is no longer seen as simply a political act, but rather the moral character is now affirmed by religious leadership, and religious leaders in local parishes can begin to draw out the implications of environmental activity for parishes.
Jim McCartan, director of the Fordham Center on Religion and Culture, says the Pope's letter is also a big deal because of the sheer size of the Catholic Church.
It comprises one of the world's largest institutional networks, including thousands upon thousands of churches, schools, hospitals. And even if half of those chose to go all in on the issues that Pope Francis is raising here, that would have an enormous impact.
He also says there is historical precedent for church teachings driving social movements outside the walls of the church. Papal encyclicals written around the turn of the century outlined the rights of workers to organize and fed into the U.S. labor movement.
That helps to affirm a movement already on the ground among Catholics and others in the United States to secure the rights of workers to just pay, to agreeable hours, and a whole range of other things.
Many less popular Catholic teachings fail to gain a foothold among the general public. But McCartan believes when church teachings dovetail with changing public sentiment, like in the case of climate change, top-level proclamations like the Pope's can help feed into social movements on the ground. For The Pulse, I'm Carolyn Beeler.